Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning the Zayis HaBracha Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah of Parshas Zayis HaBracha. Our topic is the Brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to be focusing on this Aliyah in Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, the last three tribes to receive their Brachas in this Aliyah. It is worthwhile noting that this is the end of the Brachas of Moshe. The last two Aliyahs will be talking about the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life and the blessings of Israel as a whole. So our Aliyah is five psukim long. Pasuk Chof Beis to Chavav in Perek Lamed Gimel, and the basic summary is as follows. Referring to Dan, we're told, Gudan Gurariyeh Yezanek Min HaBashan. He is a lion, a young lion cub, which is going to spring from Bashan. Then we hear about Naphtali's blessing, is Naphtali Sevar Ratzon, Umala Birkas Hashem. He is satisfied, he's filled with the blessing of Hashem. The sea and the south are his inheritance. And then we hear about Asher. Asher is Baruch Mi Banim Asher. He's blessed among the children or with children. And he finds appeasement among his brothers, Tovel B'Shem and Raglai, and he puts his foot into oil, dips his foot into oil. And then we hear about Baruzel Nechoshes Min Alecho, Chimecha Dovecho. We hear about how the locks of the territory are the locks of iron and copper, and Enkel Kel Yeshurun. There's no one like the God or the power of Yeshurun, Rochev Shemayim Bezrachel V'Gavasoy Shechakim, who rides the heavens above us. So the very obviously poetic description of the brachas, just a few things to ponder. First of all, is why is Dan called a lion? So it is important to notice that Rashi says he was also about a border tribe in the north, and therefore he needed to be strong. Like God is also described as a lion because they guard the sides. Now, what does it mean that Dan is Yezanik Min HaBashan? What does the word Yezanik mean? It's a very strange word. So it could mean that he springs forth. He comes from the Bashan. Bashan is the area of the Golan Heights, so that's where his territory is. However, it's also Yezanik could mean split off, because if you actually look at the territory of Dan, Dan's territory is supposed to be actually next to Ephraim, just above Yehuda, in the heartland of Israel towards the coast, where Yafo is, where Tel Aviv is today. That's where Dan is supposed to be. However, Dan felt that they did not get enough territory, if you read the book of Yehoshua, and therefore he made a contingency plan where instead of conquering the Amorite people around him, which were harder to conquer, he went up north to a Phoenician town called Laish or Leshem and conquered it around the area of Har Hermon, which is what we call the Golan Heights today, conquering it and expanding the territory. So Dan had two parts of territory, one in the area of Tel Aviv today and one in the area of the Golan Heights as he expanded outwards. That could mean the Yezanek, as in splitting off. Now, what's special about Naphtali when we talk about Naphtali Sevaratzon? So Rashi says he had the coast of the Kinneret, so he had all he needed. Naphtali today is in the area of leading up to the Golan Heights. It's just above the Kinneret Sea, northwards on the west bank of Israel. Why are we told he's Sevaratzon? Rav Hirsch points out that he was satisfied, as opposed to Dan, who just came before him, who was not satisfied with his territory and had to go somewhere else and expand to a non-Canaanite nation, to a Phoenician nation, to get more land. Naphtali was quite happy where he was, and that's why he stayed where he was. Then we go and move on to Asher. We're told that Asher is Baruch Mibanim. What does that mean? So Rashi says he was granted many children. If you actually look, the Zayis HaKanim says that the count, the numbers in the desert, he has an extraordinarily large population, so he was blessed with lots of children. It's also important, as Rashi points out, and the Forshim point out, quoting Chazal, that he had the opportunity of having very sought after daughters, who many of whom were married to Kohanim Gedolim as well. Now, Chizkuni points out that his land was very lush, as it had much of the area of the Upper Galilee, and because of that, he was able to export oil, which was his main product, which everybody needed for cosmetic uses, and therefore they blessed Asher because of his riches and his generosity in exporting the oil of his territory as well. Finally, at the end of the Aliyah, we have this description of the gates being locked with iron and copper. What is that referring to? So one way of looking at it, as the Ramban says it is that it's really the end of the bracha of Asher, that Asher, of course, is a northern dwelling territory. He's in the area of what Lebanon is today, going all the way up the coast. So that being the case, he is the gate to Israel from the north, and that's why he is described as having the lock and seal of Israel. However, Rashi says it could also be that this is now taking a step back. After the bracha of all, or most of the Shvatim, now Moshe Rabbeinu describes all of Israel. All of Israel, when trusting in Hashem, is like it is locked up and protected. And that's what's being referred to over here. What is the order in general of the bracha? Sort of Hirsch points out that if you can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu standing on Har Nevoi, on the Transjordan River, or just by the Dead Sea, looking over the Dead Sea, and he sort of scans the territory, moving from the south all the way up to the north, the far north towards Lebanon. That's the sort of general direction of the brachos. So the brachos are not just as he looks at the tribes, but rather as he looks at the tribal territories and then gives the bracha for those who will live in those areas. Finally, what is this last bracha over here in the end of the Aliyah, where we hear about a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Gavasoy Shechakim, Hashem is riding the heavens. So the Sforno points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and gives us consistent blessing, will be there consistently for us if we so invite Him into our lives, and that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above the heavens. He's above the Mazalot, above this Zodiac and all the other things that other nations trust Him, and all the other forces which are inconsistent, and because of that, if we allow Hashem in, we'll have consistent blessing, and that's how the brachas end. Now we're going to get to the section of the blessing of Israel and Moshe Rabbeinu's last moments. With this, we close. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.